getting to the edge. Jacobs is in for the touchdown.
Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on fourth down and one.
Welcome to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, we have actual football to talk about. How excited are you?
Very excited. Very excited. There's organized football, and they're doing football things.
Obviously, I don't think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be a very good football team this year.
I hope they hold out hope.
Well, I'm crushing the hope right now.
Year. Yeah. Well, luckily they're not listening to this podcast, so I guess you can do that.
So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Ben Baby, the new Bengals beat writer, will push it out to his faithful. Probably not, but just possible.
You guys real close, are you?
He used to cover Texas A&M, and I used to cover Mizzou. So, yes, we used to hang out on occasion. I don't know if you're aware. There was a time when Mizzou had to play. It felt like seven times a year in football at College Station. I think it was just three straight years they actually had to go to College Station for a football game. But it felt like a lot longer to me because College Station, not an easy town to get to.
Is it worse than getting to West Virginia? Because I've heard West Virginia is
But you can fly. Obnoxious. You can fly into Pittsburgh and then drive down to West Virginia.
And I've heard that's annoying in itself.
It wasn't great, but it was at least scenic. Like when you're just driving through, like I have driven down to College Station. That was a mistake. And then I flew into Dallas and drove down. Again, not a fan. You could fly in directly to College Station, but the flights, the timing of the flights wasn't always real great.
All right.
I think you could also fly into Austin and then drive over, but I never tried that one.
Sounds like you're trying to angle for a podcast where you drive in an RV around the country.
I've already suggested that we do that at least for the Mexico City trip and see how it goes, and you've already poo-pooed that idea.
Well, yeah, because you come up with terrible ideas, so it's just automatic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because going to see the Chargers game in Mexico, terrible idea.
I'm not even going to say what I'm thinking right now.
All right, man. Whatever.
I'm not even going to say it.
Whatever, man. I just think you, me, and Mick, in an RV for 20 hours driving down there and then driving back, I feel like that's ratings gold.
Okay.
Don't take our word for it that football was played. Let's hear from Patrick Mahomes and Tyrann Mathieu about this ye old football game Saturday night at Arrowhead.
Proud that we had tonight. I mean, it felt like just a regular season game to have that atmosphere and to go out there and have a great drive and score. And then the guys coming in, the young guys coming in and scoring too. I mean, we put up 38 points, I believe. So, I mean, just to kind of put up those numbers on a game like that with a lot of different groups was good to see.
I thought it was pretty good. I thought everybody's flying around, even the second and third team. I thought they played fast as well. Had a couple miscommunications they was able to capitalize off. But other than that, I thought everybody played hard.
Nick, that was Patrick Mahomes and Tyrann Mathieu talking about the football game. It's hard to nitpick too much, I think, after that performance. I know the defense gave up a touchdown on the first drive, and you know there's always things you want to clean up. But obviously, look, the defense wasn't doing a lot of blitzing. They weren't necessarily tipping their hand for what they might do come week one against Jacksonville. And overall, I mean, I think you've got to be encouraged coming out of that one, or am I crazy?
I'm not really worried because what the Bengals, whenever you watch what their offense is doing, they were playing the Alex Smith offense of the early 2013, 2014 era, where they were just doing what fans would call the dink and dunk down the field. I mean, that's what they were doing, and the coverages the Chiefs were playing, they were trying to test out some certain how some guys read the zones, how they did some of the combinations, and how they read some of the routes. So they really, they were getting a feel for what they wanted, and the Bengals were just trying to, put some positive stuff together when they were trying to get some positive momentum, apparently. So I wasn't frustrated whenever the Bengals did this or the Bengals did that because, there's some starters that weren't noticeable starters that weren't on the field for that, and it could have been. If the Chiefs really wanted to go for the jugular in that drive in that game, they genuinely could have, and it would not have gone well. The odds would have not been in the Bengals' favor.
Well, and important also to note, neither of who we project as the starting defensive ends, Frank Clark or Alex Okafor, played in the game. Although I think on the broadcast they weren't real clear about Frank Clark not starting right away. But let's start with the offense. And what is the What's the best thing you saw from the offense, or most encouraging thing you saw from the offense?
Well, I mean, with the starting offense, they it felt like they honestly they kind of it felt like for where they were in January to where they were in that game. I mean, Mahomes was making passes this year in that game on Saturday night that he wasn't making a training camp last year. And I mean, he was on point, especially that Kelce throw and that wheel route out of play action, and just the route combination that they had to clear it out for Kelce. I believe Watkins was running the vertical at that point, and Kelce ran. Some people might see it as an in and out, but it's a designed wheel that's delayed based on the timing of the clear out. So they were able to do that, and I mean, where Mahomes put the ball and how he led Kelce, and just the timing of that, it was a gorgeous throw all around. And then the read option play that Mahomes had with Blake Bell there, because you know, you and I talked about some of the evolution where they used to have the slant route off of it. They put a little flats pass with Bell out of that and ran that one, and Mahomes hit Bell perfectly, and he took off for a big gain on that one. So yeah, I mean, offense, it was in rhythm. They looked comfortable, and they effectively did what they needed to. And I was good after that drive. Pack up the circus tent and, you know, live for another week.
You know, you mentioned the job that they did out there. Tight end was a position you were looking at. And obviously, we know what Travis Kelce is. He's one of the best tight ends, if not the best tight end in the NFL right now. Blake Bell, I thought, was pretty impressive as well. I mean,
he shined too.
You talked about him showing some speed and him showing in camp once he started working with the ones last week. Mm-hmm. Some of that coming through, and I thought we saw that translate to the game as well. So safe to say he's solidified as the number two, you think?
In my book, yeah. I know people are going to continue to make it a battle, but the difference between him and Deion Yelder in terms of athletic ability, it's different level, different ball game.
Now, I know in your 53-man roster projection, you have Lovett beating out Yelder for that third tight end spot. What's your takeaway after the game? Because obviously Yelder got a lot of snaps on special teams, and he played pretty well. I thought Deion Yelder had a good night against the Bengals and maybe elevated himself in terms of the roster projection. He had the touchdown, so where do you see that battle for maybe that third tight end spot coming out of the preseason game?
With Yelder, I think they're trying to evaluate what he can or can't be, and I think they're trying to compare him to Bell and obviously Lovett to see where he's at overall. Yelder took it to a different level than what he had in practice, but I mean, he hadn't shown some of that athletic ability and speed in practice to where you believe that would happen in a game, but it did to some extent. So I think they're trying to see from a blocking perspective if he can be that number three for him. And like you said, they're trying to evaluate from a special teams perspective if he can get a lot of snaps and how well he does with that. I don't think the third tight end set in stone yet. I think if there's a more athletic guy that can do all those things, I think that Yelder would be the odd man out. Lovett, separated shoulder really kind of derailed his night, and I'll be curious to see how that evolves over the coming weeks, if he gets back out on the field this week and plays next week or what happens.
And he played okay when he was in there for a few reps, but obviously with the injury and then with as well as Deion Yelder played, I think that he took a big step forward toward possibly making the roster. Like you said, depending on what happens with other teams getting cut down the road. Do you think, though, we saw something similar happen with Byron Pringle last year in the preseason where late, in his case, it was last preseason game, he got injured, ended up on IR, ended up sticking around on the roster that way. Do you think maybe John Lovett ends up sticking around, whether it's practice squad or ends up on IR?
I think they're going to try to figure out a way to keep him around and develop him. It's just a matter of where that shoulder is at after that injury.
Yeah. So for me, the best thing I saw happened on that first drive as well. But it was when Patrick Mahomes decided that discretion was the better part of valor and decided not to get lit up by the linebacker scoring a meaningless touchdown in a preseason game and instead let Carlos Hyde do it one play later. And I don't think I was alone.
No, I think everybody wants to step out of bounds, throw the ball away, step out of bounds. Don't even try that. But the competitive nature got to him, and then the understanding of what he means to the franchise got to him halfway through that run, and he's like, yeah.
I'm definitely going to have to meme the thumbs up he gave to the sideline and the smile after he got down. So Patrick Mahomes also had a sense of humor about it after the game.
Yeah, I was just kind of scrambling out, trying to find someone open, and then I kind of cut back, and I saw the end zone, and I knew there was probably a good chance I could have got in there, but that guy was coming downhill pretty fast, so I decided just to save it for the regular season.
In the regular season, are you fine with him diving in there, or would you rather him, same thing, get down, let Carlos Hyde or Damian Williams or Tyreek Hill on a jet sweep, whoever, let somebody else be the one to take the hit at the goal line.
Anybody else. That's my rule with him. He's a very, very important piece of the Super Bowl run this year, and they better if there's a legal way that they can wrap him up like the kid from the Little Giants that I put the little gif of last night, where his mom just wrapped him in all this padding. Whenever my mom said I didn't have enough padding, and he looks like a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man with how much padding he has on. I would do the same thing to Patrick.
Yeah, I was gonna say I worry whether that would restrict his ability to throw like 60-yard passes on the run.
It wouldn't help, but it would keep him safe, and I'm all for it.
If he can still throw no-look passes like that, then I think we're good. Although, I worry. I don't know if he would ever be able to get the behind-the-back off with that much padding. He would look, you know, or if he got knocked down, would it be like the little brother in A Christmas Story? He can't quite get back up.
I feel like you put a lot of thought into this, more so than I will.
Actually, it's just been the last 30 seconds.
I had already moved on mentally after it.
In fairness, you check out on me a lot. So we're going to move on to talk about impressive rookies. Mecole Hardman Jr. And Darwin Thompson, the 6th-round pick out of Utah State. Both those guys, I think they showed a lot. Obviously Hardman had a touchdown in the jet sweep, little pop pass, whatever you want to call it.
You are right. It's a pop pass. Good job.
He drew a couple penalties. But I was impressed with some of the toughness he showed. You know, I'm fighting through tackles and working to gain extra yards. He flashed in the return game as well. Overall, good night at the office for Hardman Jr.
Yeah, I think he opened some eyes for people that couldn't be at training camp whenever they saw some of his route running ability and him in the open field trying to make some things happen, because they're used to seeing a different 17, and it popped for them. They got to see the flashes of what the athletic ability is supposed to look like with those combine numbers, and Mecole showed them what that's supposed to look like. So he's really come a long way from where he was in mini camp to where he's at now. So I mean, he's put in a lot of work, and he's learning from a lot of smart minds there at One Arrowhead Drive. And his jet sweep pop pass TD that they had there.
Great blocking by Bell and Yelder on that to you know, kind of part the Red Sea for him.
Yeah, they had crucial blocks on that. Khalil McKenzie had a really good seal off of it. I believe Pace Murphy was the right tackle. He was looking for somebody. He could have hit two different guys, and he just kind of kept running. So, and then the corners got the secondary got past him, and Hardman had already outrun the angles and gone wide to the diagonally towards the pylon there, so it was over at that point. But the way Hardman, the way he put his foot in the ground and the way he accelerated off that, and he lost no speed because he started getting into top end speed on the jet sweep there, and then he put his foot in the ground and kind of, he didn't really round it off, but he took an angle to it, and somehow he wasn't able to lose speed. Most players would lose speed and have to reaccelerate. He didn't. So just the way he did that showed off some impressive athletic ability.
And after the game, 41X News Sports Director Mick Schaefer caught up with Mecole Hardman Jr. one-on-one.
I feel good, man. I take advantage of my opportunity, and I took advantage, and I was in the end zone, so, you know.
Overall, how things go for you today?
It went good. You know, I think I had a solid game. It could have been better. First game, you know, I had to get the jitters out, get my feet wet. You know, different atmosphere. You know what I'm saying? I got a little tired, but you know, it's a work in progress. But we're gonna be ready though.
Now, who had a better night, do you think? I mean, because Darwin Thompson also caught a touchdown over the middle. Mecole had a great night, but Darwin Thompson catches the touchdown from Chase Litton. He showed burst. I also thought he showed a lot of toughness. He was running between the tackles, running over secondary guys, bouncing off linebackers, making a lot of plays. I know you were pretty jazzed about a cut block he had where he took out a blitzing, I think it was a blitzing safety. I may be misremembering that play, but took out a blitzing safety at the knees and sent him head over heels a little bit.
The poor man had a family.
Yeah. We also saw dare I say, Kareem Hunt-esque hurdle down the field.
Oh, let's not do that.
From Darwin Thompson.
That was in my mentions. Let's not do that. People are already trying to compare him with Kareem
Hunt. He's not Kareem Hunt, but you saw a lot of good things. No, he's not at all anywhere near the size of Kareem Hunt. So you can just start there. They're two completely different backs. But are you more convinced now than you were going into the game that Darwin Thompson can be a contributor on this offense immediately?
I had no doubt he could be a contributor. It's just a matter of how he could do in terms of pass protection, because he's still learning. When I talk about finer points, that's one of the finer points I'm talking about, is pass protection. That's so big for this football team, more so than it used to be, because of what Patrick Mahomes' ability is. And you want to?
Are you saying they didn't care if Alex Smith got hurt?
I mean, I'm saying, how do I put this in a nice way? He was important to the offense, but the wheels on the bus don't fall apart if he has to sit out for a couple of games or something.
I guess the drop-off between Alex Smith to Chase Daniel or Chad Henne, not quite as severe as the drop-off from Patrick Mahomes to
correct
virtually anybody else.
That is 100% accurate.
Is that what you're getting at?
I was trying to do it in a nicer way, but you just said, here's the Band-Aid, let's rip it off.
Yeah, let's just cut to the chase.
Yeah, no, you definitely did on that one. So you need running backs that are really good pass protectors back there and will sacrifice themselves like Jamaal Charles and Charkandrick West used to do to just lay a defender out. So Thompson took that step whenever he did that cut block. I was like, okay, that's what I've been waiting to see, an active live situation. He was able to do that. I'm glad he doesn't do that in practice, because he'd be hurting a teammate that they may need. So I'm appreciative he doesn't do it there.
Teron Matthew goes on the IR.
Yeah, I'm appreciative he didn't do it there. So, but I'm saying in that, like, you know, it was a different time for him to be able to do that and be justified in doing that. So it showed a new avenue of his game that you're kind of wondering about. I think... Once a running back gets in the NFL, there's so many things that they learn about vision and how to read their blocking and how to, in terms of the offense, where the hole may be, and with and just getting comfortable with the offensive line and how they step and where you can find that hole at. And it takes a little time and a little acclimation and adjustment to get to that point, because Jamaal Charles, it took him 2 years to kind of become the running back that he did, that people remember him for, but he wasn't that early on in 2008, and he had a lot of fumbling problems, and Pioli tried to trade him in 2009 to the Redskins for a fifth round pick, if I remember correctly, fourth or fifth round pick. And luckily, they thought that was too much for Jamaal Charles then, so he ended up having a really good career here. But, I mean, Thompson's going to be – he'll be electric in some of the route running out of the backfield. He's going to be electric in the screen passes. If he can get to that point in pass protection and do some of that against the number ones, you know, when you get to week 7, week 8 down the road there, especially in some of those crucial games, and especially if he can do that type of stuff in the playoffs against the ones, I mean, that was something that they were missing whenever Damien Williams needed that rest last year. They didn't have another guy, so if that can be what they need, then hey, I'm all for it.
And Patrick Mahomes was among those who praised both Mecole Hardman Jr. and Darwin Thompson for their performance. But there was another guy, Andy Reid, not sure if you heard of him, one of the brightest minds in NFL history in terms of offense. He was rather impressed with his rookies as well.
Oh?
Yeah, both Hardman and Thompson. Yeah, both of them. Just to give them an opportunity to show. Brett's done a nice job of bringing these young guys in, and we want to try to give them an opportunity to play. And you know, it's important. That's an important thing. As you go through the preseason, that you give the young guys an opportunity, so you keep them and you don't give them to somebody else when it comes down to cut down time.
Good to know. Andy Reid not planning on cutting Darwin Thompson or Mecole Hardman Jr. I was a little bit worried.
You looked worried.
Yeah.
I was very concerned for you. Didn't know if we're going to have to go get you a Cinnabon or something.
Yeah. It's like I also told my children today we would not be having a roster cut down of my children. We're going to keep both.
Well, I'm sure your youngest was very thrilled to hear that development. Otherwise, who's going to supply his Pokemon to
him? That's right. Another running back had kind of a decent night. I still think he's got an uphill climb to make make the roster, but you know, Josh Caldwell polished off the night with a big run, a nice touchdown. Good moment for that kid.
Yeah, I mean, to be a local kid from, I believe, the Lee Summit area and then up at Northwest Missouri State, I know he had talked about watching games at Arrowhead before and wanting to play on the field. So for him to have that opportunity and to get that, it's kind of one of those moments. Like, I used to root for J.J. Smith back in the day from K-State and the Raytown South, I believe, back in the day. And, I mean, J.J., you know, you're rooting for him to make the run. What?
Nothing. There's only one Raytown, and only one Raytown is needed, so I just...
Okay.
I can't believe you'd mention Raytown South on the podcast.
Well, if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure that's where he's from.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, anyways, since we're going to have a battle royale here in a minute, just drink your Dr. Pepper. Hopefully it'll soothe your soul. No, but I mean, like, Carl Peter, I will say this, Carl Peterson always had this, he was always smart about bringing in like a local guy every year to kind of be that person that fans rooted for, kind of had an interest in always. Carl was always smart at being able to create storylines. So it was kind of a throwback in terms of some, I don't think that's the Chiefs' intention. They want the best football players. But I think it's kind of a reminder of one of those local storylines that you kind of rooted for again to be able to watch one of the local kids score a touchdown in preseason and kind of have that moment. And his family's been very present and reminded a lot of us in the media tent about him. And you know, it's been fun to watch him be excited at training camp, be able to have those moments. And if I remember correctly, it's really funny. I think Mitch Holtis put it up on Twitter a while back. He went back to the Hy-Vee in St. Joe where he worked at, like, before he started training camp. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know, it was a cool thing to see, and I'm happy for him. And, I mean, if he can continue to do that over the next couple weeks, I personally would be against him being on practice squad.
Yeah.
There was some ability there, so there's some power there, too.
Let's hear from Darwin Thompson and the aforementioned Josh Caldwell about the experience of playing in Arrowhead in a NFL preseason game.
NFL game, like, it was crazy.
And you had to do some work there, some guys to avoid, and a little tackle to break and all that.
At that point, I was just like, man, get going fast, like, take off now. Like, as soon as I caught the ball, I like, lift your knees up, somebody's on your tail, get going, get in the end zone.
Things go about as well as you thought they could tonight?
I proved a little bit. I proved that 5'8", 195, I can play in the NFL. I can break tackles. I can do the same things I did in college, but let me build on top of that. That's not the best of me. I'm gonna keep getting better every day.
Oh, I knew Coach Reed was gonna give me a chance. Just because I should have scored on the first time. But he, you know, our quarterback Chase, he said, "Hey, if you don't score right here, I'm gonna throw it in. So you better get in there." So I was like, "Okay, I'm good." And I asked my O-line. I said, "Man, give me one hard play for me," and you know, they delivered. So
what's that feeling like, man? Being a guy from Kansas City, being able to get scored in your hometown.
Man, it's kind of crazy, you know, just to have those kids look up to you from Kansas City. You know, not a lot of people make it out of there, and just to show them, like, hey, it don't matter what background you come from, you can make it out.
Had you been to a game here before as a fan or anything like that?
Yeah, I've been to a few games. Like I told him, I said I was here at the last 2 years ago at the playoff game against the Tennessee Titans, and it was crazy. It was rocking. It was pretty cold, and I said, man, it'll be nice to play on that field one day, so here I am now.
And that was Darwin Thompson, not satisfied with his performance, and Josh Caldwell, picking at scabs for the Chiefs fan base.
All I'm saying is that's how you close out a soundbite right there, the way Josh did. That's how you close out a soundbite.
Right? All right. That's also how you close out a segment, Nick Jacobs. We'll be back here on 4th and 1.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza.
Good morning, everyone. It's going to be a beautiful day today in Kansas City. Clear skies, no chance for rainfall, and the heat is building.
If you're heading on out to the pool, it is just fantastic out there. An 8 outside index, perfect 10.
We know Kansas City.
We love telling the stories of Kansas City.
Well, it's not exactly any one thing, and we couldn't do it without our reporters on the streets.
Behind these doors here at MCC.
Big flashes of lightning as well.
We hustle. We dig.
We bring you the important stories you won't see anywhere else.
So how many diapers are you giving out a month?
There is a difference in the morning.
Watch us, and you'll see.
41 Action News, clear, complete coverage.
41 Action Sports with Mick Schaefer, clear, complete coverage.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. After an extensive conversation about the offense, Nick, I do think the defense warrants some attention. And look, the big concern, I think, coming into this game, especially for those of us who've been up to training camp and watch and practice a little bit, has continued to be the cornerback situation. Do you feel any better coming out of the game against the Bengals than you did going in about how the Chiefs are sit in terms of, you know, their outside secondary players?
No, it didn't help me at all. I wasn't any more encouraged watching some of the outside cornerback performances afterwards. So, yeah, Tarvarius Ward struggled to find the football a lot last night. He always seems to find himself close in position, but never right in the defender's hip pocket like he needs to be.
It goes back to like Steve Spagnuolo was talking about. We want guys who are competitive. You know, I mean, you know, rip the ball out. Just play all the way through. And it always seems like whether it's he's a step late or just can't quite finish. I mean, you can see that there's ability there, but he just hasn't figured out. It isn't a finished product yet.
Right.
And that worries you when you know, talk about putting him in a game because those guys get roasted like a piece of bread in a toaster oven.
I, from a zone coverage perspective, he doesn't look comfortable to me.
He gives a lot of space. He seems to it's almost like the wheels are still just grinding a little bit too slow. You know, they just haven't been properly lubricated to get up to speed yet.
Yeah, I feel like he's a guy that his wheelhouse is man coverage, and he likes to be on the go the entire time. That's where he feels most comfortable. And if he's having to react when somebody gets a free release, it doesn't seem like it. The instincts just aren't clicking in that regard.
Was there anybody? Look, I thought Bashaud Breeland played fairly well. I think on the one play where he had to show some recovery speed, and somebody got and was able to get there, Andy Dalton underthrew the ball pretty horrifically. Mm-hmm. But based on the way he opened up in the backpedal and went back, I think he was expecting safety help over the top, and then realized it wasn't there and made a veteran move to get by. And then he also shined a little bit. They set up a screen and he was able to weave his way through traffic and make a big stick on that. Bashaud played like you would hope he would play, like you'd expect him to play. He certainly, I think, is fine. Obviously, we'll see whether Morris Claiborne, who should start working into some camp practice this week and may or may not play at Pittsburgh next week. We'll have to find out later in the week. But safe to say, they're going to, you know, he's you need Claiborne to hit the ground running at this point, right?
I think you're going to have to. I think you're going to have to ease him in over the next couple of weeks so he doesn't potentially do anything that gets himself hurt, depending where he's at training and conditioning-wise.
Well, and he's got 4 weeks into the season where he's going to be suspended before he's got to be in playing shape.
Correct. And so, but I mean, you want to ease into that instead of being like, all right, you're going to be out there for 70 reps today. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Maybe start with 20.
Well, and look, I think it's still important to give DeMontre Wade, Tarvarius Ward, those guys reps and keep trying to work with them, get them up to speed, because those guys are going to be on the roster. You're still going to need them. You would expect to play at some point, unless, of course, the Chiefs go and just remake everything, once we get closer to cutdown day and other teams have to release some of their 37 players.
Yeah, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that they're gonna need to do some looking.
They'll need to do some, but there's no guarantee that there's gonna be somebody better that comes along.
I certainly think they're going to explore that avenue. I don't feel like Wade or Ward did anything to help themselves in the game on Saturday. So I would personally, if I was in Chiefs shoes, I'm going to be actively looking and see if somebody wants something significant or not.
It'll also be interesting. We know that Brett Veach is very aggressive. He's aggressive in using those picks. He was aggressive last year in trading, you know, when it became clear that Dallas may be that Charvarius Ward may be getting cut in Dallas, he went ahead and gave him a pick to make sure that he didn't have to try to fight for him on the waiver wire. It may be interesting to see whether something like that comes about if they've got their eye on somebody. You know, once we get a couple games into the preseason and the Chiefs have more tape to evaluate, maybe there's a guy out there that they look at the numbers, they realize he's probably not going to make that roster, but he would be an upgrade on ours. Maybe they throw a pick in and bring him in like they did Charvarius last year.
I think anything is on the table, and everything should be in that regard.
Did anybody in the cornerback group stand out at all? Mark Fields, Rashad Fenton, any of those guys make an impression on you in a positive way? Or, you know, like me, outside of Bashaud Breeland, and I thought Kendall Fuller looked,
he looked better.
Looked better than he had at times in camp.
Looked better.
But outside of those two, I thought it was an underwhelming day for the most part for the secondary, although I did like some of the things I saw from Mark Fields.
I think Fenton had probably two plays that you could kind of be like, all right, there's some promise there you can work with. Yeah. Fields, I wanted to give him a ton of credit on the first pass breakup, but then I saw him grabbing the defender's waist a lot and
yeah.
Reminded me of Sutton's defense last year with Orlando Skandrick, so I wasn't a fan of seeing that. But I think Fields is a competitive corner. I like his athletic ability. I think he's pretty raw, and I'm still not sure if they're going to have to put him on practice squad to develop him overall, or if they feel like they can have him as one of the last cornerbacks on the roster. I mean, there's potential there. It's just I still need to see more in the next three games to know where Fields and Fenton can fit on this roster. Are they more developmental wise?
Sticking with the secondary, the guy who I thought really jumped out to me, and look, I mentioned it in the first segment. I went to Texas A&M to see a lot of football games back when I was a beat writer covering the University of Missouri, and I saw Armani Watts play a lot of football. I think people tend to forget, last year because he got hurt and missed so much time, but that is a guy. He's got a great nose for the football. He made a lot of tackles. Armani Watts was all over the field last night, and I think we saw him on a blitz, leaping in the air to get a pass breakup. He's also pretty good in coverage. He's able to run with opposing skill players. I really loved what I saw from Armani Watts yesterday, and I think he could be tough to keep off the field in some respects or in some capacity, just given his nose for the football and his ability to go make plays.
I think he's more of a strong safety in their scheme of what they're trying to
run. Well, and that's the difficulty, because you're gonna have he's kind of blocked by Tyrann Mathieu, but mm-hmm. Boy, I mean, if you need an extra safety out there in plays or something like that, he's shown me a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he's still developing, and I think he could be a great run support safety overall. I think he has the speed to do that. I don't think you want to put him as a ranging free safety in coverage in that regard. But yeah, I think he can help in some portions of zone coverage, and maybe depending how you want to work him in some man or press coverage. But I think for the most part, he's, like you said, he's more of a run support safety. That I think that's kind of where he would shine at. But I think he has a role in their scheme, and above all else, I think he's going to be a huge contributor on special teams.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's got some speed. He's got, like we said, he plays with a bit of an edge, and you like to see that from guys.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, anybody else stand out to you? Obviously, the defensive line, when you look at Tano Passanio, Breeland Speaks, a couple guys that, have generated a lot of conversation in camp. This is the first chance to see whether that translated to a game. I thought you saw Tano Passanio make a lot of plays. You heard his name, whether it was getting pressure or even getting a. He and Speaks had back to back sacks at one point there, and I think the third quarter. But what's your impression on those guys?
I mean, Passanio, there's a certain way to use him, and I kind of see him as kind of the ninth guy on the roster overall, and I think there's certain roles you can use him as a guy who kind of comes in the rotation overall and kind of gives somebody else a breather. But he's going to be a speed finesse rusher to me. That's just kind of who he is at this point in his career. So I think there's some ways they can use him athletically, but he got a lot of snaps last night because of the injuries, and so did Breeland Speaks. I still think Breeland Speaks is a nose tackle, and I think him and Derek Nnadi, I kind of feel are kind of the two strongest guys on that team that have some serious power to them if you let those guys bull rush. And And I think Breland's kind of at his best. I know this is going to sound bad to say, but I think if you're doing like some twists and stunts in that regard, you kind of use Breland to set up your speed rushers and let him power through an angle at a defender's shoulder to kind of disrupt that. I think that's kind of where his wheelhouse is overall, but I also think he's a really good bull rusher. And if you put him and Derek Nnadi as bull rushers, just collapse in the pocket on some passing downs if you want to do that with some speed around the corner, and then you throw in a blitz or two somewhere. Like I there's so many opportunities to wreak so much havoc with, but I think Breland and Nnadi are kind of your strength guys that can help you in run support and can kind of help maintain that line of scrimmage. But at the same regard, they're also you can use them to set up some of your rushes for your speed guys.
Moving back a level. To the linebacker position, Darren Lee got a lot of reps, got a lot of snaps. Then we also saw Ragland. Either of those guys make an impression on you? I mean, I think Ragland is who we thought he is, right? I mean, he fills a hole, still struggles in coverage. I mean, I don't think there was anything revelatory about his performance. But what did you like from seeing Darren Lee for the first time in this scheme?
He, like you talked about earlier with another one of the Chiefs, he plays with an edge. He's got an attitude about him. He knows it's a contract year. He flew around to the football. I mean, there's a couple times the way he got to the edge and how quickly he closed, and just the sure tackling he had, how he wrapped up. And really, the Chiefs' defense overall, much better tackling this time than they normally are. They were in, I can't even say late season form, because their late season form was a struggle last year. This is some of the better tackling that they've had on the roster in general, let alone in the preseason. So I think that's the nice way I can put that.
Another guy that, speaking of guys who came up and thumped a few times, Ben Neiman.
He had a couple.
Again, coverage remains an issue for him. But
When I was watching him at camp, some of his drops, they aren't very fluid and smooth. And he's not confident dropping into zone in some regards.
If you're Dorian O'Daniel, you played a lot of special teams, but are you worried about your roster spot?
I still think there's roles for him in the sub package coverage wise, and I think there's roles for him on special teams, and I think athletically there's a lot there to work with. So we'll see how the next 3 weeks play out, but I'm not as worried as some people I know are.
Yeah, young guy, only his second year in the league. So I think overall I think the linebacking position. Look, we talked about it before. A lot of depth, a lot of versatility. You still need guys to solidify it, guys to step up. I thought Darren Lee took a step in that direction. And look, he's a former first-round pick who got sent packing before his rookie contract was up. Mm-hmm. That's got to motivate a guy, and that's got to be a plus for the Chiefs if he's going to play with a chip on his shoulder this year.
Correct. And something else that I don't know if enough people have touched on, how many of Brett Veach's draft picks are starting from last year and some this year, how they really kind of shined in the preseason game overall? I mean, Colin Saunders may have not done some of the things that people were kind of expecting, but I mean, Hardman had a big game, kind of showed why they took him where they did. Juan Thornhill didn't have an interception, but overall he looked good in his tackling, and then quickly he came up and closed at the line of scrimmage. And then obviously the undrafted free agent Fields had some good plays, and then Speaks, he had a sack and he showed some ability. And I mean, and Armani Watts that we already talked about. So I mean, there's some of those guys are kind of starting.
Derek Nnadi
obviously showed his strength, but I mean, some of those guys, they're starting to showcase why the Chiefs took them. They just needed the right people to develop them, especially defensively.
The other guy, I think merited a mention, Daniel Sorensen. He's had a great camp, continued to look good. I don't think he's going to give up his spot to Juan Thornhill easily. And so that's always encouraging to see. Guys, stick around. We've got some of your favorite segments here in the C Block. We'll be back here on 4th and 1.
41 Action Sports with Mick Schaefer. Clear, complete coverage.
Cutting the cable cord? 41 Action News is now on Roku. Search KSHB. Add our channel and you're set. All of our newscasts stream live. No other station in Kansas City can say that. Get clear, complete coverage on 41 Action News now on Roku.
We don't just report the stories. We find the stories. Getting the answers you deserve every day, every night. 41 Action News at 10. Clear, complete coverage.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza.
Welcome to Welcome back to fourth and one, I should say. Todd Palmer joined
welcome
by Nick
to
Jacobs.
It. You skipped all the way through to the end.
Yeah,
welcome.
Yeah, yeah. If you just tuned in for the dynamite drop-ins between the B and C block, well, there you go. But Nick, I did want to cover one thing. I mean, this is the first game that we've seen the Chiefs play in which the new New Orleans Saints-inspired rule about pass interference and the ability to review pass interference came into play. Obviously, the Chiefs had an interception that I think it was Shurmur threw that was wiped off the board when they reviewed it and decided that it was, in fact, pass interference. The Bengals reviewed a play later in the game. The officials decided that there wasn't any pass interference. And overall, do you like the rule change?
I think they're going to have to figure out a way to manage it better than what I saw in the preseason game last night. I just want to see something overall that where they, for me personally, I don't want to see the game be disrupted as long as it has been. And I want to see the guys be able to maybe take 30 seconds, maybe 4 seconds, like a play clock. But overall, somebody upstairs rules on it and lets them know downstairs and just moves on about the day. They got to figure out a way to make it more efficient than it was, because that really drug the game out whenever it should have been done a lot quicker than it was.
So, not a fan?
I'm not a fan of the pacing overall. I think it could be a crucial point under 2 minutes down the road. But, yeah, it took way too long. Very ineffective.
All right, we are to the point of the show where I'm going to ask you to name that chief, Nick, and see if you can do it. Are you up to the challenge this week?
I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Well, here we go. You ready? This former Chiefs defensive end reached double figures in sacks twice, including 13.5 in 1984. Only 8 Chiefs players have had more sacks in a single season. A Wichita native who played collegiately at Colorado State and was a second-round pick in 79, he remains tied for 8th in franchise history with 40 career sacks. He's enshrined in the Wichita Sports, Kansas Sports, and CSU Halls of Fame, but missed the 1986 season while in federal prison. He returned in 1987 and played 5 more seasons with the franchise. Nick Jacobs, can you name that chief?
Played 5 more seasons after 87.
And I've got one more clue I can give you if you need it.
Yeah, might as well.
His nephew is a tight end on the current Chiefs roster.
That's what I figured, but I didn't know about the legal trouble part. That one threw me for a loop at that point.
No. If you go look at his pro football, he did not play in 1986 because he was in jail from August to December that year.
All right, so that's going to be Mike Bell, and yeah, that's all I can say.
He maintains his innocence. In that case. But good job. Good job. Good game. Good effort, Nick.
Yeah. I don't have a lot to say in that one. All right. I'll give you this, Chief. This former Chief is a Super Bowl champion. He was an MVP.
So not with the Super Bowl. Lynn Dawson.
He is a Super Bowl champion, former Super Bowl MVP, 6-time Pro Bowler. He was the NFL MVP in 1985. He was the Rookie of the Year in 1982. He won a Heisman Trophy. He had his number retired at USC. He is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's in the College Football Hall of Fame. And he had 123 career rushing touchdowns. Do you need a number, or are you good?
Is it number 32, and did he once own a car dealership in town?
Yes. Since you referenced that on the last one, I wrote that down, and I was like, let's do that.
Well, I was like, when you said NFL MVP in 85, I was like, who in the... And then, yeah, then I figured it out. Marcus Allen. Final answer.
Good job. Yeah, no, when you said the car dealership in our last podcast, I was like, I am going to use that now.
All right, nice job. Are we checking tweets today? Or
as long as my phone doesn't interfere with the microphone.
Yeah, well, God bless technology.
Yeah. I got to buy a new one at some point.
New microphone?
No, new phone. I've had this one for apparently 6 years when I looked it up the other day.
Nice.
I was like, all right, that makes sense.
That's a lot of tweets.
Yes, it is. It has had a lot of tweets. We've had a lot of good Twitter times together. All right, first check the tweet comes from Patrick Stevens.
Patrick. Good name. Strong quarterback name.
He was a part of my high school entourage and part of the college entourage.
Oh, really?
He's a dad now.
Oh.
My mom is very concerned about that. Like, she's like, all your friends are having kids now. She's like, I remember when they used to be in high school with you. And she's like, now they're having kids. She's like, she thinks she's like me mentally. I think she pretends that everybody stays the same age. It's just her that, you know, and I think that too, where I think everybody else stays at the same age and I just get older.
Gonna start calling you Pony Boy.
Kind of like, I don't know if it's kind of like a Matthew McConaughey case confused or not.
No.
I don't think it is.
Man, now you're getting, now, you can't say those things, man. You're walking a fine line, Nick.
Starting this from the top, then, we'll probably cut that out. If Todd says it, we'll probably have to cut it out.
You know what I love about them high school? Okay.
Yeah, no. So anyways, on this edition, check the tweets here. First one comes with Patrick Stevens.
Patrick, good solid quarterback name.
That's
like
right.
I like it.
Pat was an offense and defensive lineman, though, at Oak Park High School, part of my high school entourage.
So does he have, is he going to raise the next generation of Chiefs offensive linemen then?
It's certainly possible. All right. If his child wants to play. I know my mom's very, she can't believe that my friends from high school all have kids now.
Yeah, well, you know.
So Patrick asks, the offense is set. How much you think they use Hill, Hardman to do double reverses and line up next to each other? Caldwell looked good as well as 25. How do you think they approach that?
Well, I mean, Caldwell, I think we addressed that earlier. I think he's got an uphill fight. I think his if he sticks on the team, it'll be as a practice squad player. I think the ability to have Hill and Hardman in space, whether you put them together and motion them, whether you put them on opposite sides and force them to make a choice with rolling coverage one way or the other because of the speed threat they bring. There's a lot of options. I'm not as smart as Andy Hill or Andy Reid, so I'm not going to presume to know exactly what he's going to do. But I mean, you can do a million things with those guys. I mean, you know, so I look forward to seeing whatever they do figure out.
All right, this one's going to come from Evan, and it's kind of a question a lot of people ask. I think this one will be the best for it. Assuming Sherman, Damien Williams, and Thompson are locks, what other running backs make the 53? Does Tre'Von Smith make the 53 in any capacity?
I think the area in which Tre'Von has an advantage is special teams. I mean, you saw them use him as
returner.
The top kick returner coming out. And look, he also, in terms of his versatility, if you think he can play running back and you know you can throw him in at cornerback in a pinch, and he also has special teams value, that's a lot that one guy brings to a 53-man roster. So I think that he's got a chance. So then I think it comes down to Carlos Hyde versus Darrell Williams, and I think at the end of the day, one of those guys may be the odd man out.
And this comes from one of our guy who's a big fan of the podcast. Cooper Loop. Cooper asks, where can we buy our offense is awesomer than yours t-shirts? Will you be making those, Todd? As a side project.
I won't because
I don't want to hear it if you're going to do it.
It would just be drawn on with a Sharpie and it wouldn't look very good. But okay. I would email your suggestions to like Charlie Hustle or something.
That sounds like a good idea. And Chiefs KC23 asks, if you could compare Hardman's skill set to from any wide receiver in the NFL, who would you say it is?
Oh, man.
Therese has a comparison I think is kind of the most accurate, but if you have a different
one. I'm trying to think of guys. He reminds me of a Tavon Austin or Farrell Cooper type coming out, but neither one of those guys ever materialized into much in the league. So I'm trying to think of someone a little bit more.
I'll give you Therese. Therese thought he looked a lot like Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah, I mean, the difference there, Maclin had more size, so I was kind of, part of me, I was thinking DeSean Jackson, at least in terms of former players of Andy Reid's, just because of the special teams ability, but I think that Hardman has some ability with what they're doing with him in short and intermediate routes that, DeSean's mostly a deep threat, and I think McColl can be a deep threat, but I also think that They're developing him to be more of a complete receiver. So I don't know. I mean, I need to see a little bit more film, against NFL, an actual NFL games before I think I can make that. But I mean, Jeremy Maclin certainly worked, because he's another guy who, you know, had a lot of elite special teams ability, certainly coming out of college.
All right, well, that's all for this edition of Check the Tweets.
Anything else you want to add, Nick?
Other than a
shout out to Trudy.
Don't you say my mom's name for the hackers. Tell the hackers my mom's name. Rude. Only other thing I was going to say is a quarterback. I think the third string quarterback starting to look pretty clear that it's going to be Kyle Shermer. I don't think Litton Time's going to be able to. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work out.
Well, I will say this. He looked pretty terrible early and had that interception, but I thought later in the game he settled in and he started making some decent throws. And there's still not a comparison between the two in terms of arm strength. So
I don't think the odds are in Litton Time's favor at this point.
Well, I mean, in a perfect world, it's not going to matter who the third string quarterback is. So.
Yeah. One would hope it doesn't.
So, all right, well, we'll leave you with Nick's laughter here on 4th and 1.